So let's just review a little bit of what we did yesterday here on the top of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that in the case of Mavir Sakin Birshus Rabim, so here he's not throwing it, he's carrying it. And on the one hand, if we apply the principle of Rav Chisda, which was Litzorech, then in this case also we could apply the principle of Litzorech. On the other hand, if we're going to go with the second approach, and that is that it all depends upon whether it's Efshal Ladure or Lomatzi Ladure, in this case he could stop at any point. So it comes out like this. Do we view the Tchilas HaAveira? Remember we spoke yesterday about the Yad Ramah and the Ra'ah. They were of the opinion that it all depends upon Tchilas HaAveira. So do we view the Havaras HaSakin, when he carries the Sakin, as the Tchilas HaAveira? So therefore it's part of the Maisa Machayev. The Tchilas HaChiyuv is the Akira, when he picks up the Sakin and he starts walking with the Sakin. So that would fulfill the view of the Lishna Kama that we apply Kimnei Ramine once it's the Tchilas HaChiyuv. So the Havaras HaSakin is already considered the Tchilas HaChiyuv. On the other hand, if we go with the second Lishna, and we said that according to the second Lishna, it's not enough to set up a Tchilas HaChiyuv. You need one continuous Maisa Avera. And we view it as such because once he sends out the chetz, he cannot retrieve the chetz. He cannot rescind his action. It's already gone. Here, it's very difficult to assume that Havaras HaSakin is the beginning of the Maisa Avera, because in fact he can stop midway and change his mind. He doesn't have to continue with this one flowing pu'ula, one action of Hotzah. So if according to the second Lishna, everything depends upon the continuous action, so that the Havara was inherent in the Zrika, but in the case of Havara where he's carrying it, then I wouldn't say that the ultimate Hanocha inheres in the carrying of the Saka, because at any point he could decide that he doesn't want to continue and place it down. So also what we're up to now is Gufa. We started this yesterday. I want to review it today. So we're on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, and we're about halfway through the Amud. Maybe even a little bit more than halfway, and you'll see the word Gufa.
Gufa Amar Rabbi Abi?
Yeah. I don't know how to... all that I can say here is that it's a little bit more than halfway through the Amud. More than that, I don't know. I start counting lines, you'll be here till... So we're going back to the original statement of Rabbi Ovin. And Rabbi Ovin said that we apply Kimlei the Rabbinei in the case of Zrikas Chetz. And the reason for that was because we view the Tchilas HaChiyuv as throwing the Chetz. And therefore the whole Hemshech, the whole continuous process that ends up in a Chiyuv when it lands in another Rishus or at the end of Dalai Lama's, that would knock off any Chiyuv Mamon in between. And we said, according to the second Lishna, in the case of Zrikas Chetz, everything inheres in the Zrika, because once he shoots out the arrow, he cannot bring it back.
Excuse me for a second. Welcome to
Jerry. Yeah, we met, went outside, we, Baruch Hashem. So this is Jerry. Jerry just came back right from not long ago. What, a few days ago? Yeah. Where were you, in Chicago or?
Texas.
Michigan.
New York.
Okay. Chicago's not far from Michigan. No, just kidding. Okay. So we have Akira Litzorech Hanocha. And that's called Akira Litzorech Hanocha. Fine. So now we had a kasha from Rabbi Bar Abaye. he was bothered by a brisa that had a resha and a seifa. Let's just go over the resha and the seifa. The resha was a case where he steals a kiss and he does a hagbah in the kiss. So let's say Reuven enters into Shimon's private property. He lifts up a wallet for the purpose of stealing it. And at that point, he already incurs a chiv gneva, because gneva depends upon a kinyan, and he made a kinyan by lifting up the wallet. Again, this is the resha. And then he carries it out on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. He puts it down in Rosh Hashanah, or he stops walking, whatever the case may be. And in this case, the Braisa assumes that he has to pay for the gneva, because kvar nischayev b'gneva kodem sheyavali de isus skila. The chiyuv gneva was already complete, was already set in stone when he lifted up the arniki, when he lifted up the kiss in the rishus of the baile. And the chiyuv skil is going to come much later on when he carries the kiss outside of the rishus ayachid and puts it down in rishus arab. Then we have the seifa. The seifa is a case where he never lifted up the kiss. It means that the minimum amount of hagbah is what we call shlosha tfachim. He didn't lift it up shlosha tfachim. He bends down and he puts his hand below shlosha tfachim, very close to the ground. And he's called megarer v'yotze, megarer v'yotze. He drags it on the ground itself. In such a case, the kinyan hagbah and the chiyuv for meleches hotzah are simultaneous. Why? Because since he never lifted up the kiss in the sefer, his chiyuv is not because of a kinyan hagbah, but rather because of hotzah sachefetz mishus bailan. His act of gneva is when he takes the object, the property of the nignav, and he brings it out from the rishus of the nignav into a rishus harab. That's the clincher of gneva. And at that very moment, he is chayev for meleches hotzah. And that, in the language of the Braisa, in the Sefer of the Braisa, that's Sharei Iser Shabbos Ugneva Boim Kiechad. There's an absolute simultaneity between the kinyan that he makes on the kiss, which is the kinyan that generates a chiyuv of Gneva, and the chiyuv Hotzah when he takes it out to Shisram. All that happens at exactly the same moment in time. So the chiyuv of Iser Hotzah for Chayiv and Lechis Hotzah by violating the Shabbos, that knocks off the chiyuv of gneva, and therefore he's parted from gneva. But now the Gemara analyzes the resha. If we look at the resha, one could argue, just like we said before, that there's a tchilas chiyuv, and that's enough to set off kimle b'derabine. Here too, the tchilas achiyuv of the otzah is the moment that he lifts up the kiss. Now, it's true that he hasn't completed his hotzah, but he has begun his hotzah. And in the case where he begins his hotzah, then any chiyuv mamon that's incurred from the time of the beginning of the chiyuv hotzah until the end of the chiyuv hotzah is completely removed by the chiyuv hotzah. So we go back to the tchilas avera. And the tchilas avera, when the avera begins, is at the moment that he lifts up the kiss, because he lifts it up with the intention of taking it out. So that's Gemara's kasha. Let's look at the Gemara's language. Why does the Reisha say that he has to pay tashlumei gneva? Why not apply the principle of kimle b'derabine? Just like we've said before, in the case where you lifted up something for the purpose of taking it out, so then you're patur. Like, for example, the Gemara says that the nafkamina between the first lishna that we had and the second lishna was that, according to the first lishna, in the case where he's carrying the sakin, and as he's walking 4 hours in Shisram, he destroys someone's property, we have to define the mavir, meaning the beginning of the process of carrying the sakin. When he lifts up the sakin, and now he's carrying the sakin, at that moment, we're already involved in an Akira Litzorach Hanocha, right? He lifts up the Sakin, that's called an Akira. And that Akira is the beginning of the Avera and the Tchila Sachiv of Hotzah, Melechas Hotzah. And therefore, hence, the Gemara says, according to the first Lishna, he's Chayav. He's Potter, meaning we apply Kimlei Ramine. It's only in the second Lishna that we cut off the Akira from the Hanocha because Efshel Aduri, Motzi Aduri, he can take it back. And therefore, we don't see it as one continuous ma'isaver. But according to the first Lishna, we apply the principle of litzorech, and we say that any time he starts the chiyuv, even though he could change his mind midway, but the beginning of the chiyuv is enough to set up a tzorech, right? A tzorech, meaning when we look at this hotzah in its complete form, beginning, middle, and end, then the beginning of the hotzah was the akira. And that akira was litzorech hotzah. Again, we're going to have to work with Mafreya in the sense that we have to wait until we see that he actually puts it down four amos into Rishus HaRabim or in a Rishus HaRabim if he took it out of Rishus HaYochid. But once we see that he completes the Avera and he finally does a Hanocha, when did that Hanocha begin? What?
The Akira.
Excellent. What kicks off the Hanocha, meaning what action begins a process that's going to culminate in Hanocha? It's the Akira. So that's called Litzorech. So from the perspective of the first Lishna, we have a concept called Litzorech. So we look at the Hanocha, we go back to the Akira, and we define the Akira as part of the Chiyuv. The Chiyuv itself is made up of parts. The beginning is the Akira, the end is the Hanocha. So the Akira itself is part of the Chiyuv, and therefore we apply Kimlei Ramine from that moment and on until he finally finishes his Chiyuv. And if we apply that to the Braisa, in the case of Agonev Kis Vehotzio Mirshus Bailam to Rishus Aramim, then as soon as he lifted up the Kis, he did an Akira on the Kis, and now he puts it down in Rishus HaRabim. That's the Hanocha. The Hanocha is the completion of the Akira. The Akira was Litzorech Hanocha, and therefore the Tchilas Achiv was that act of Akira. You'll tell me he could pull it back, right? He could decide at some point before he leaves the bounds of the Rishus Bailam, he can decide, you know what, I want to do tshuva, and he stops dead in his tracks. It doesn't matter. Since he continued, and there's a completion of Melechas Hotzah when he takes it out of the Rishus Bailim, that's going to be the Hanocha. Now I pull back and I look at the beginning of this process of Hotzah, and I analyze that the Akira itself was the beginning of the Chiyuv Hotzah. And according to the first Lishna, this would set off the principle, would activate the principle of Kimlei V'Ramineh. Why? Because we go back to Tchilas Achiyuv. And Tchilas Achiyuv means any Akira that culminates in a Hotzah. So that Akira was part of the Chiyuv. And therefore it's the beginning of the Chiyuv. I don't have to see a Maisa Vera of Hotzah in that Akira. That's only going to the second Lishna. The second Lishna says, Matzi Ladure or Lo Matzi Ladure. Do I see this Zrika as the beginning of the Hotzah? Well, then the Gemara has no Kasha, because according to the Lishna Basra, this Brisa of Rabbi Barabai makes absolute sense. In the case of Gonev Kis, when he lifts up the Kis in the Rishus HaBailim, he can always change his mind. So you can't say that the Hotzah inheres in the Maisa Vera of Hagbo'as HaKis. Not, again, that's going to be an Avera of Geneva, but it's not an Avera of Hotzah. Why? Because at any moment he can stop dead in his tracks.
So, clearly this is going with the view that the Tzorach is, matters here. And that's, but would this apply? So let's go back to the idea of the Chalev. Doesn't necessarily apply there, though, because here what we're saying is the Akira is an essential part of the act as well.
That's what I'm suggesting, that even though one could argue that nothing inheres in the Akira in this case, because again, we're talking about a guy who's carrying something, so he could always change his mind. It's like not like the case of Zrika, but when we look at the end result, namely the Hanocha, we can certainly define the Akira as the Tchilas Hanocha.
Right. And also,
in terms of the Chiyuv Hotzah.
But here, right. if somebody handed it to him, he'd be putter in it. He'd be putter. So it has to be the akira is.
Right, but you remember we spoke about a case where he bends down and he lifts the chalev into his mouth.
Right.
In that case, it would be chayav for both mazik and for what we call litzorech achila, that are both sinks, you know, in sync simultaneous, and that would knock off his chiv to pay for the chalev. Again, according to the first lishna, because it's litzorech. What does litzorech mean? That now that I see that he completed the achila, well, when did he start the achila? Well, he started the achila with what? With lifting the chalev and putting it into his mouth. So I have a footnote here. He says kushas agamaba he rak lefi aloshen arishon shachiluk bein zorek chetz legonev chalev hu shevizorek chetz yefshal akira below anocha. So the akira begins the hotzah that culminates with hanocha, whereas in the case of lifting up the chalev, the lifting up the chalev is not viewed as the beginning of achila. Aval lefi alishna basra shachiluku shebizorik chetz lo yochel lachzirbo lachzirbo. He cannot take back the chetz lo kasha klal. Shrei gam kan yochel lo lachzirbo kodem sheyotzmei abayis. So therefore, you would not say that the walking, that the lifting of the kiss in the Rishus HaBailim is the beginning of the Hotzah. No, that's not the beginning of Hotzah. Hotzah is going to happen later on.
But this is going along with the view that Litzorech qualifies. It doesn't. You don't need to have.
Well, according to the first Lishna, that Litzorech makes it into Tchilas Achiyuv, then this is certainly a case of Litzorech because this Akira culminates with Hotzah. So the Gemara now gives a pretty radical answer to this question. Hocha b'mayaskinon in the Reisha, the Brisa of Rabibi. Oh, what are we talking about? Kigon shegbio al menas latznio. At the point in which he lifts up the wallet in the Rishus of the Bailim, he has no intention of taking it out into Rishus of Rabin. And only afterwards, nimlach olav lo tzio. So initially, he was almanas latznil. Latznil means to hide it. He's going to find a place where he hides it in the rishus of the bailim, and later on, he'll take it out. So, you know, he's not so frum when it comes to gneva, but he's pretty frum when it comes to Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want to violate Shabbos. I'm just giving a hechatim, so it doesn't have to be this way, right? So what he does is he hides it somewhere under a plank in the rishus of the bailim. He's going to come back and take it after Shabbos. And then, after the chafetz is already in his hand, he's got the wallet in his hand, nimlach, he changes his mind. He has a change of heart. Nimlach olav, he changes his mind vis-a-vis olav, meaning the kiss, this wallet, v'hotzio, and he decides to take it out. So in this case, we don't count the hagbah as akiras hachafetz. Why? Because to the extent to which Akira is an integral part of Meleches Hotzah, the Akira has to be Litzorech Hotzah, meaning with a Kavana, Almanas Lahotzi. But if it wasn't Almanas Lahotzi, but it was rather Almanas Latznia, so for example, this is the famous case of a person who's running around in his house carrying on his shoulders furniture. You know, he's moving his furniture from one side of the room to the other. I don't know if you know any people who do that. I was raised in a house where that was done all the time, you know, just rearrange the furniture. So anyway, somebody's rearranging the furniture. He wants to take it from that corner of the room and place it down in this corner of the room. And then all of a sudden he decides, while he's carrying the piece of furniture, he's going to take it outside the into Rishus HaRab and put it down. So in such a case, is he chayev?
No,
he's potter. Why? Because there was never an akira litzorech hotzah. Because when he put the dresser or whatever it is on his back, his intention was almanas latznil, which means to take it from one corner of the room to another corner of the room. Here's a case where you cannot say that the akira is litzorech hotzah, litzorech hanocha, and it's all part of one maisa machayev, because his intention when he lifted it up was to hide it somewhere in the Rishus of the Bailin. So there was never a Hagbah as an Akira, meaning an Akira has to be for the purpose of taking from one Rishus out into another Rishus. That wasn't his intention, hence this Akira is not part and parcel of the Chiyuv from Maleches Hotzah. Then he's Chayav for Gneva at the point at which he lifted the wallet, and he's not Chayav for Hotzah until he finally makes a decision that he wants to take it out. Now here comes another question, and this is going to be an introduction to the next part of the sugya. When he finally decides that he wants to take it out into the Rishus HaRabim, does he need a new Akira? Right, the original Akira when he lifted up the wallet was Almanas Latznir, so that wasn't an Akira HaMechayevet. But now at some point he decides he's going to take it out into Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara asks, "B'chi Hai Gavda Michayev." Now, the Bryce is telling you that he's Chayev for Maleches Shabbos. He's also Chayev for the Hagbah for the Gneva in the Reisha. In the Seif, actually, he's not Chayev for the Gneva because he's Chayev for Tzah. But if it was Magbia Almanas Latznio, then he never did an Akira Machayevet. Omar of Simon, Omar of Ami, Omar of Yochanan. He's carrying his furniture from one corner of the room to the other. So when he lifted up the dresser and he put it on his back, he had no intention to take it out into Rishus HaRabim. But Nimlach Aleim Lo Veltzion, at some point he decides that he's going to take it out. Potter, he's not Chayav from Maleches Hotzah. Again, we're not saying that he's allowed to do such a thing, but it's not a violation of Maleches Hotzah. Why? Because there's no Akira. Akira is an integral part of the Chiyuv Hotzah. And why is there no Akira? After he lifted up, Shalohois Akira Mishor Rishon Lekach, because when he originally lifted it up, he did not have in mind to take it out into Rishus HaRabim. His intention was to take it from one corner of the room to the other corner of the room. So he never did an Akira Machayevis, because the precondition of the Akira is that it was done for the sake of taking it out from one Rishus and putting it down in another Rishus. So then, how are you going to explain our Brisa, the Brisa of Rabbi, and say that the Brisa is talking about a case when he lifted up the wallet, he had no intention of carrying it out? The Brisa says he's Chayav Maleches Hotzah. If he had no intention of carrying it out, and at one point he decides, I'm going to take it outside into Rishus HaRabim, he's not Chayav, there's no Akira Machayeves. So the Gemara answers the following. Lo Tema, don't assume the way we originally assumed, Almanas Latznio, that his intention when he lifted up the wallet was to hide it under the plank, under the floor of the Rishus Bailin. Elaima, change it a little bit. Almanas Lahotzio, Enochinami, when he lifted up the wallet, his intention was to take it out to Rishus HaRabim.
Now we're back to the Brayta.
Oh, and now we're back to the Brayta. The Brayta says that this Hagbah was Utsarech Hotzah. So therefore that Hagbah now on the for the intention to take it out becomes the Akira that culminates in the Chiyuv Hotzah. So we already have a Tchilas Chiyuv. Why then should he be Chayav to pay for the Gneva? Hachav Mayaskinon Kisha Omad. What happens is that the Motzi, right, it was also the Ganav, you can call it by two names, he decides to cut off his original Akira, in which case he needs a brand new Akira. So the original Akira, when he lifted up the wallet, which was the clincher as far as the Chiyuv Gneva is concerned, did not culminate in Otzah. Why? Because Kisha Amad. Amad means he didn't lift it up and immediately take it outside. He lifted it up, starts walking around, maybe he's walking towards the door, and then he stops dead in his tracks. Once he stops dead in his tracks, the original Akira is completely batel. It's null and void. The only time that Akira integrates into the Chiyuv for the Hanacha is only if the Akira continues without any cessation. Once he stops, then that Akira is already history. It's gone. It's batal umevutal.
It doesn't matter what his kavanah was for stopping.
Yeah, that's going to be the next Gemara. The two categories of if you ever learned the first parak in Shabbos, you know there's omen lofosh, omen lekate. But before we get to that, I just want to get the Gemara down straight. But Yochai, you're already a step ahead of me as usual. Okay, I'm always a little bit behind you guys. So hachamai skinik sha'amad. You know, we're not yet getting into the question of what is intention. What he at one point, after lifting up the kiss, he decides he's going to take a break. He's going to take a breather. You know, it's a very heavy kiss. You know, he's carrying it. And maybe he had second thought. I don't know. But anyway, so it turns out that the original Akira at the time of the Hagbah, when he lifted up the Arniki, did not culminate in a Hotzah. It was not Mitzuraf. It was not linked up to his Hanacha later on. So the original Akira is batal umevutal, completely null and void. If that be the case, he needs what's called an Akira Shnia. He needs a second Akira to replace the first Akira. The first Akira is history, as we said, because he was Ome. So now, as soon as he wants to take the wallet that he's got in his pocket and he wants to bring it out from the Shusayachid into the Shusaradim, that's the new Akira. Now you might ask me the following question. What is Akira? Does Akira mean that you remove the object from a place on the ground? Or is Akira moving the object? It doesn't mean that you have removed it from a certain place and taken it into a different place. I don't know if you understood what I meant, so let me try that again. In this case, there's one Akira in which he lifts up the wallet. He never actually put the wallet down. He stopped, and then he decides to take it out into Rosh Hashanah. Where's the second Akira? I don't see a new Akira. If Akira means lifting it up from the ground, well, there was only one Akira.
But it's good. He's the Akira.
So we have a new definition now of Akira. This is very important. And that's called Akiras Gufo Ka Akiras Chefetz Tomei. That when a person has an object on his shoulders, it's on his body, or like the Bedouin women, you know, they put it on top of their heads. In such a case, the very moment he moves his body, that's called an Akiras Chefetz. So we view the Chefetz as if it's on the ground, even though it's not really on the ground. And when he moves his body, he's taking it off that location on the ground, and he's carrying it with him to a new location where he's going to put it down when he stops. So that's called Akiras Gufo Ka Akiras Chefetz Tomei. Again, back to the sugya at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. So now the Akira's Gufo is the brand new Akira. And his Chiyuv Hotzah, when he finally stops in Rosh Hashanah, is going to be a result of that Akira, the second Akira, when he moves his body and crosses into the Rosh Hashanah. Well, the Chiyuv Gneva has already been clinched when he originally picked up the kiss. And at that point, he doesn't have an Akira Machayeves. He could have had an Akira Machayeves, but he decided to stop. And the very moment he stops in his track, that Akira is completely null and void. And therefore, he has already a Chiyuv Gneva, which is set in stone from the moment of the first Akira. But that first Akira has nothing to do, it doesn't integrate into the Meleches Hotzah. For that, we need a second Akira. The first Akira generates a Chiyuv Ganav, and he has to pay for that. And the second Akira is going to generate a Chiyuv Hotzah for the Meleches Hotzah. And he'll pay for that with his life. But it doesn't in any way exempt him from the chiv that's already been set in stone at the time of the first Akira.
I just want to clarify. All of this discussion is the Gemara essentially trying to keep the principle of Letzorech.
Correct. To defend the Lishna Kama, Letzorech, with this, reconcile it with this price. The ratio of the price. So that all these different ukimtas are in order to come up with a way of interpreting this price so that would not contradict our first Lishna that says that there's something called Tchilas Chiyuv. If that Akira is ultimately integrated into a Meleches Hotzah, and the answer is that Akira cannot be integrated into Meleches Hotzah because he was Amad. So now we get to Chaim's question. Why did he stop? Amad Lamai, what was his purpose in stopping? Ilakatev, sometimes you're holding something on your shoulders and you have to move it around a little bit. It's not sitting properly. It's moving towards one side, moving towards the other. I had this experience just before with my talis. You know, I sit in the shtibuch, it's a little bit tight over there, so it's very hard for me to find a way to get my talus in place. That's called lekatef. Lekatef means to set it straight on his shoulders. So imagine a person has lifted up, let's say, a dresser, and he's carrying it on his shoulders, you know, one of those savalim. And at some point, as he's walking, he stops for a second just to move it around on his shoulders. That's not called an amida, meaning that doesn't uproot or undermine his original akira. His original akira is still in place, even though he stops. Notice when you look at it, the object is not in motion; it's in one specific place. But al pi din, since that's all for the purpose of continuing his halicha, meaning he's just setting it up in a way that now he can continue walking and moving forward, that's not considered a termination of his nakira. Why? Because he's not doing it for the sake of let's take a break, let's take a breather, and let's stop. No, he's not doing that. It's very hard for him to move it around while he's walking, so he has to stop walking for a split second to move it around. That would not help us. Meaning, if our goal here is to undermine the first akira in order to set up a second akira, and that's the only way we're going to justify the ratio of the Braisa Rabibi that he's chayav to pay tashlumei gneva, because that first akira never culminated in a hotzah, it was completely nulled and voided by the amida. Well, it can't be a case of amida lekatev, because amida lekatev, kituf means vilosh and ktefo, his shoulders. That's urchehi, that's considered the way you carry something. It's not a termination of your carrying, it's part of the continuation of your carrying. Ella, the Gemara says, you know what kind of amida we're talking about? Be omed lafush. Okay, this is a sugya in the first parak of Shabbos. Omed lafush. Omed lafush means he wants to take a break. He has to recharge his batteries. So he does what's called a hanocha. Hanocha means he rests. When you rest, then the purpose of your resting is that the object should no longer be in motion. You can't rest if the object is in motion. So you stop in order to regain your energies, to recharge your batteries. That's called Omed Lafush. The Gemara says that Omed Lafush terminates his Hotzah, meaning his original Akira. You and I would have said otherwise. Well, he has full intention of continuing on his path. He's only stopping in order to regain some energy. Well, that's also Urche, that's also part of the process of projecting him forward and carrying you. But no, the Gemara says it's different. Why? Because as opposed to Omid Lekatef, which he would do without stopping, if he could facilitate that, it's just very hard for him to facilitate Lekatef while he's walking, so he stops. But in this case of Omid Lafush, he really intends to take a break. It doesn't matter if he's taking a break for 1 minute or for 15 minutes. He's taking a break, meaning he's stopping. He wants to terminate this Hotzah that began and brought him to this point, and now restart a new Hotzah with renewed energies. So the Gemara now is Medayik. Avo lekatef mai. Here we're going to turn to Daf Lamed Aleph on base Patur. Meaning that if it was a case of lekatef, and that's called Urche, in other words, the Chiv Tashlumin is going to be knocked off by the original Akira, because the original Akira is still in place. Is now the Gemara uses the methodology of liflog velisnei bedida, meaning when the Braisa wants to contrast the ratio of the Sefer, the ratio he's chayav and the Sefer he's potur, the Braisa should have stuck to the original scenario and just changed one little element in the equation, not come up with a whole new amagar v'yotze. Amagar v'yotze, as we discussed yesterday, is a whole different type of hotzah. The Braisa felt compelled, in order to set up a p'tur, to introduce a whole new process of hotzah. Doesn't make any sense. Ad tani, until the Braisa says, quote, in the Sefer, Hayu Magar v'yotze, Magar v'yotze, p'tur, I'll give you a case where he's p'tur even without Magar v'yotze. I'll give you a case where he's p'tur even where there was a Hagbah, like the Reisha. But it was just one little thing that changes here. It wasn't a Hagbah which continued in the Reisha, which continued and culminated with Hanocha, because there was an Omed Lafush, but in the Sefer it was a Hagbah that even though he stopped, nevertheless it's still part of the Akira Machayeves because he was Omed Lekatev. And if the original Hagbah is an Akira which culminates and it continues to be valid despite the fact that he took a break, because he was only doing so to move around the burden on his back, is then at the same time that he did that original Akira Machayeves, he also was Chayef for Gneva, and therefore he should be Potter, and will apply the principle of Kim Lev Deramine, it's Bevasachas. Niflog Velis Nibididah. Why don't we just differentiate in the very first scenario of Hagbah? We don't have to leave Hagbah behind and pick up Greira. Leave out Greira. I don't need Greira. I could say the following. Well, in a case of Hagbah, would he be Potter for Tashlumi Gneva, or would he not be Potter for Duzer? It all depends whether that Hagbah is the beginning of an Akira. Well, is that Hagbah the beginning of Akira, is it not? Well, it all depends why he stopped. Bameid Varma Murim, when do we say that he completely nulls and voids his original Akira Biomeid Lofush? Ava Lekatev Potter. Why? Because Lekatev is considered Urche. He doesn't nullify his original Akira. The original Akira is very much active in force. And hence we apply the principle Kimle Ramine, because at the moment of that original Akbar, namely Akira, he generated a Chiyuv Tashlumei Gneva, and at the same time, he began his Chiyuv Hotzah, because that was the Akira Litzorech Hotzah. He stopped. The answer is he stopped Lekatev. And if he stopped Lekatev, then that itself would be considered as if the Akira is continuous. In other words, he hasn't completely terminated his Akira, and hence he'll be part of by virtue of Kim Levi the Ramine. So basically, at this point, the Gemara is at a stalemate. The Gemara is at a brick wall, so to speak. We already rejected this answer to the question Rabbi Ovin, the question on Rabbi Ovin, I should say. In other words, why does it say in the Brice that Igbias Esakis, and his intention was Lamanas Lahotzilushus Rabbin? Why does the Brice say this Chayav to Tashlumin? After all, it's an Akira Litzorach Hanocha, and the Akira itself is the beginning of the Hanocha. He should be part of the Tashlumin. Ella says the Gemara, we have to give another interpretation of the Raisa. Hamani, who is the author of this Raisa? It's Ben Azai. The Omar Mahalech Ke'omei Domi. Ben Azai holds that in the case of carrying something, you can never be chayav for Dalet Amos Birshus Harab. Why? Because Dalet Amos Birshus Harab requires an Akira B'tchilas Dalet and a Hanocha B'sof Dalet. According to Ben Azai, that's literally impossible. Again, you could have a Halicha where you cross from one Rishus to another Rishus Hayach Rishus Harab. Then you'd be Chayef even according to Ben Azai. But if you're carrying something Dalet Amos Birshus Harab, then every time you stop, unless you're a, what do they call it? What's that jumper called in the Olympics? You know,
long jumper.
Long distance jumper. Yeah, if you're not a long distance jumper, you know, Arba Amos is quite a jump. Arba Amos is like probably from here. Well, no, maybe from where Eric is sitting to the wall. You know, I was decent at jumping, but that's much.
If
he's walking, he's not jumping.
Each step is an Akira and Hanukkah?
Correct. Yeah. Every time he puts down his foot in order to move forward, according to Ben Azai, that's considered Hanukkah. Because again, we're assuming Hanukkah's Gufo is Hanukkah's Chayfet's Tomei. So every time he takes a step, it's a brand new Akira and a brand new Hanukkah. And if that be the case, every time he puts down his foot, he's mevatel the Akira that came before it. So then he never really had a carrying of four Amos Tshusarab, unless, as we said before, he does it in one jump. So it comes out the following, that according to Ben Azai, the Akira for which he's Chai of Misa is going to only be that last step when he, you know, his right foot is in Rishus HaBailim, is in Rishus HaYochid, and then he puts down his left foot in Rishus HaRabim. When he does that, he does an Akira with Anocha. But the original Akira, when he started walking, That's not going to be machayev him, because that akira is completely gone the very moment that he put his foot down. Because Ben Azai's opinion is mahalich ke'omein domi. So when he picked up the chayfetz and he in Rishus of Bailim, and then he incurred a chiyuv kneva, that's not the akira machayeves, because that akira is going to be batel as a result of the principle of Ben Azai mahalich ke'omein domi. He's only going to be chayev later for hutzah when he takes that last step and he crosses over the threshold between Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. So therefore there's no possibility of Kim Levi the Rabin. Now again, I mentioned to you that according to Ben Azai, in a case where he jumps four amos in one leap, he would be chayav. Why? Because then the Akira begins when he starts the leap, and the Hanocha culminates his Hotso when he lands on the ground. There's another possibility, according to Ben Azai, where you can be chayav for Dalai Lama's Bishus Rabin, and that's in the case of Zrika. Why? Because if you throw something from the beginning of four amas and it lands four amas later besof arba, then there was no mahalika omei domi. It's flying through the air. And that's what the Gemara is going to analyze right now. Avol, says the Gemara, let's say the ganav was zorik. It was a case of zrika. In other words, he took the arniki and he threw it into Rishus HaRabim. This is going to again lead us to a case of liflog veliste b'nidah. Because what's going to be the din in such a case? Even Ben Azai is going to agree patur, because then the beginning of the zrika was the akira hamachayeves, and that should knock off the chiyuv for gneva. And therefore, the Gemara is going to ask liflog v'lisni v'nidah. The Braisa could have distinguished between the following two cases: when is he chayev? That's only in the case of mahalik, because then the original lifting of the kiss in the Rishus HaBailim did not culminate in an akira. It cannot be defined in class as an akira machayeves, and the reason for that is because of Ben Azai's principle of mahalich ke'omei domi. But in the case of zrika enochinami, he would be potter, because at the moment of zrika he would be beginning the akira hamachayeves. Now, what I was bothered by is the following. You know, why is that called liftog for listening to the dog? I mean, yeah, the Bryce itself has a case of Magara Viyotze. And in such a case, he's going to be chayev for the moment that he, right, because it's below three tefachim, so he never did Agbar to be machayev from Geneva. He's only chayev when he crosses the boundary line into Shesayach. And that's called Magara Viyotze. Why is that any worse than Zorek? I mean, Zorik is also a different form of Molechas Otsah. So yeah, you can do Otsah in three different ways. There's a possibility of lifting it up, carrying it out. There's a possibility of throwing it out. And there's a possibility of bending down and dragging it out. Why are you getting all uptight about this? Well, what's your tension here? Liflog, we're listening to you. You should have mentioned the case of Zorik. Why is the case of Zorik any more logical or less complicated than the case of Megara v'Yotze?
Because you still have the action of picking it up. That seems to be the focus here. Is that being the tzara? So okay, you pick it up, and that's the beginning of the action to then throw it. In this case, and so you're both starting with the same action.
So look, Eric, maybe we could fit your answer into Tosfos. Let me just first read the language of Tosfos, then we'll come back to your answer. Tosfos says the following: that mahalich v'zorik shovim, there's a certain similarity between mahalich and zorik le'inyan zeh, for the following, relative to the following concept. Shebishtehen, both in the case of mahalich and in the case of zorik, hakinyan ba lifnei shehischayev b'hotzah. Second. Just one second, let me just get this straight here. Mahalich and Zorik. Because there's a hagbah. And the chiddush would be that whereas hagbah is not considered l'tzorich hotzah because mahalich ka'omei domi. Right, so when he lifts it up, he's going to now start walking with it. Every time he puts his foot down, he ends the akira and starts a new akira. And that's why he's chayev. But in the case of Zorek, where you don't have malacha ome domi, and the chiddush is the tagba is litzorek. Masha enken in the case of megara v'yotze, there the kinyan and the chiyuv hotzah was simultaneous. So I think what Tosfos saying, and then you'll tell me if that's what you were saying, is that there's a bigger chiddush in Zorek than in the case of Megara V'yotze. Why? Because what the Brisa wants to stay as close as possible to the Reisha of the Brisa. The Reisha of the Brisa says that he's chayev because the kinyan took place first when he lifted up the kiss, and then the hotzah took place later when he walked out into the Rishus HaRabim. One could argue that Zorik is the same, because the lifting up the kiss is what clinches his Kli of Gneva, and then he throws the kiss. And that would be the Gvaldik Achidish of the Mishnah called Litzorek, that I could view that act of Hagbah, which is the Kinyan Gneva, as Litzorek Hotzah. Why? Because in order to be Zorik it, he's got to lift it up. Mashaykin, in the case of Megar V'yotze, I mean, here there's absolute simultaneity between the kinyan, being the hotzah mershus lushus, in this case because there was no agbah, and the chiyuv hotzah. So that would be a more distant, so to speak, than the reisha, where he's chayev. The reisha where he's chayev is a case where he's chayev because the kinyan took place at time X and the hotzah began at time Y. I want to stick as close as possible to that within the confines of this Bryce. And the Bryce wants to tell you, when will you be potter? When the kinyan took place when you lifted the kiss, and the hutzah took place immediately afterwards when you threw the kiss, and there's no simultaneity between the lifting as a kinyan, which generates the chiyuv of tashlum negneva, and the hutzah, the akira, which was the zrika. And nevertheless, you're going to be potter. Why are you going to be potter? What's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? If it had been written in that way in Zerika, is the difference is because now I can use the word, I can use the concept of Litzorek, that in order to facilitate the Zerika, you had to lift up the object. And therefore, we're going to apply the principle of Tchilas Achiyuv, that the Hagbah itself is already the Tchilas Achiyuv of Hotzah. Masha'en came in the case of Megar V'yotze. I mean, there I'm not telling you something about a hadbah that took place at time T1 and a hotzah that took place at time T2, because both the kinyan and the hotzah both took place simultaneously at one point. Is that more or less what you had in mind, Derek?
Much clearer and better way.
Yeah. All right, that's what he says over here. So basically, the Gemara says liflog v'lisnidido. So the Gemara answers. I was hoping maybe we'd get to the finishing point, but it just goes on and on and on, so I can't finish it within the time allotment for today, but we'll just read one more line. So again, with log minis dova medvaramur vimahale, I will be zorik patur. So the more answers, Megar V'yotze itzrichle, that there is an additional chiddush in Megar V'yotze, that's why the Brisa preferred that case in the Sefer to the case of Zorik. Why? I don't even know that your chayef hotzah in the case of Megar V'yotze. Normally, when a person wants to take something from one rishus and put it down another rishus, he lifts it up. And in we have a concept in Melechas Shabbos, maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow, called Melechas Machshavas. Melechas Machshavas also means that to violate a melech, you have to do it exactly the way it's done. And that's called Kidarko. And Kidarko is not greater. Kamash Malon, the Gemara answers no. Even greater is the Derech Hotzah. There are situations in which that's the way you facilitate a Hotzah, by dragging it from one Rishus to another. So this has to do with, you know, if something's very heavy, if it's not very heavy, it's the Orche, not Orche, we'll get to that tomorrow. So if I could just borrow maybe a pencil. Alright, everyone should have a good day, and Blee Netter will try to finish this Sugya tomorrow. Thank you.